Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. The Reverend Brian Heller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you compare me? I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. Who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, and by the greatness of his might? And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
If anyone would know about God's power, it is the prophet whose reading we read moments ago, Isaiah. Because Isaiah has encountered the power of God firsthand. Those very first opening chapters, seraphim and cherubim proclaiming the holiness of God, a smoke-filled room, burning coals from a fiery altar for his own purification. So it really is not too surprising when Isaiah prophesies in our text that the Lord is strong in power. Isaiah himself has gotten a taste of it. But what does this mean, this strong in power description? How is God strong in power? And no, we don't fall into those traps about God's power that maybe he uses his power to predestine some to eternal life and condemn others to hell, as if our lives were just simple games to him. No, we know that God does not use his power to conform to our selfish desires and wants, that he will be whatever we want him to be or grant us wishes like a genie. Yet these false beliefs about God and his power flow from the way that we, as sinful humans, experience power in this world. Because let's face it, we know in this world how power is typically used. The world almost always uses power to attempt to force people into submission. There really are no shortage of examples of this. Think about wars waged, political fighting inside and outside of the church. The list goes on. But the way God yields his power is completely different. It doesn't make sense to our sin-filled reason. Even the power that God has is nothing that compares to the power of this world. Isaiah says God never grows faint. He never grows weary. And his understanding is simply, as Isaiah writes, unsearchable. So what does God do? He comes to earth, he comes to us. He uses power in order to save, in order to ensure that not one of his precious lambs is missing from his flock. He uses his power to become a servant. Not just any servant, but a servant that's submissive unto death. And so this power of God, this power of Christ, is exercised in his death on the cross, which to this world is a symbol of hopelessness and of folly, but for us Christians gathered here today, the cross is where our forgiveness is won. The cross is where true power is found. The cross is where Christ, true God, yet also true man, is obedient to his Father, bearing your sins, indeed bearing the sins of the entire world, as he is crucified, exercising his power by giving up his very life for you and for me, and indeed the entire world. So yes, Christ uses his power by doing what no one else in this world would ever do. Furthermore, he uses power by giving it away. As we know, right before his ascension, Jesus tells the apostles that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And they, in turn, were to bear witness of Christ to the ends of the earth, so that all may be heirs of eternal life. While nations like Babylon, Rome, and so on, and every other power in this world, do whatever it takes to hold on to their power, our Lord exercises power by giving it to his bride, the church, for the sake of mankind's salvation. He uses his power to fulfill his promises to his people, his promises to you. Israel will soon learn, or more appropriately, relearn, that these promises of God, spoken to them by prophets such as Isaiah, will be unchanging and true, regardless of the circumstances that they find themselves in. And Israel herself will have a roller coaster of unpleasant circumstances, mainly that they bring about on themselves because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. Because as Isaiah writes, Israel is facing Babylonian captivity. They will learn the hard way that the power they thought they had, the power that they hoped and trusted in worshiping false gods, amounted to nothing. Where are their false gods now? Because that is not where salvation is found. And what's more, as we know, Babylonian rule will eventually give way to a new power, the Romans. And under Roman rule, under Caesar's imperial power, Galileans will be slaughtered by the hand of Pilate, their blood mixed with sacrifices. And in 70 AD, Israel will realize that, yes, things can indeed get worse for them as they experience a whole new level of horror and terror when the temple is destroyed and Rome exercises utterly brutal power upon them. But the beautiful thing is, the Lord will not leave his people without hope. Even in the face of their blatant unfaithfulness to him, the Lord still loves them, and he uses his power for their good. The Lord, yes, brings divine judgment upon his people, but he also speaks words of comfort. He loves his people. He speaks words of salvation to his people. He gives them promises that, yes, he will die their death and win for them, win for us, win for the entire world, eternal life. And so today, dear Christians, take comfort in Isaiah's words, because these words are for you as well. The promises that Isaiah made are true for you today. Christ has fulfilled every single prophecy for you. His words are eternal. They do not change like the circumstances around you, no matter what our circumstances may be. And again, our circumstances are always changing. Now, I know it's budget season around the Synod, so maybe our circumstances involve a lot of stress with that. Maybe for our missionaries gathered here this morning, there's some anxiety of what the new circumstances of ministry will look like. Maybe the circumstances that we are facing personally like the Israelites, have been brought about by our own doing, by our own unfaithfulness, our own sin. And so pain, loneliness, and despair that the Israelites faced in captivity, maybe those feelings are all familiar to you. But dear Christians, whatever your circumstances, do not place your hope in those fleeting feelings. Do not place your hope in the powers and principalities of this world. They will fail you always. Isaiah proclaims a few verses earlier in our reading that it is God who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is indeed the everlasting God. He alone is your rock and your fortress. He alone is your ever-present help in times of trouble. Come to where Christ has promised to be for you. In the water, in the word, in the bread and wine, things that seem very weak, things that seem unimportant, things that seem ordinary. And it is in these seemingly ordinary gifts that Christ distributes his power, forgiveness, life, and salvation to his holy bride, the church. A church in which the seraphim, the cherubim, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaiah, all of our loved ones who have died in the faith, indeed all the company of heaven, gather together singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Trust in those words that Isaiah prophesies at the beginning of chapter 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your warfare is ended and your iniquity is pardoned." Trust in these unchanging promises, especially in times of darkness. Continue to wait for the Lord, he who gives his power to his bride, the church, to cleanse you, refresh you, to love you, so that your strength is renewed. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint in the faith that he has given to you. Live in the confidence that your sins are forgiven in Christ alone, and that you are his precious lamb and his holy flock, of which not one is missing. Trust in the Lord's power. Power made perfect in weakness on the cross for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.